Mary, my mother, our mother, our beautiful, sweet, loving mother. She always brings us straight to Jesus, you know. Do you want to become close to Jesus? Get to know Mary and become really close to her. She takes you to Jesus. Her whole life is centered around her son. I'm often known as the Rosary Lady at a local assisted living facility I visit, where I go to pray the Rosary with the Catholics there. And hopefully, Mother Mary will eventually help me to convert some of the others there to Catholicism too, with the help of the Rosary. To be perfectly honest, when they first started calling me the Rosary Lady, I remember that after about the third time I heard, "Here comes the Rosary Lady," I felt a tiny bit hurt inside that they couldn't remember my name. And then suddenly, almost immediately after I thought that, interiorly I felt like someone thumped me really hard. Perhaps it was my guardian angel letting me know what a selfish dumb twit I was for thinking that, because it is such an honor, and immediately I realized just what a beautiful honor that truly is. I so love the Rosary. If I could have any other name in the world, that would be it, and I couldn't be happier. Thank you, Mama Mary. And I suddenly felt humbled and unworthy and planned to try to live up to that name for the rest of my life as best as I can. The more devoted we are to Mary, the more disposed we are to being used as her instruments of love and grace. And so, because I'm speaking about Mary tonight, I'm also going to be speaking a lot about the Rosary and about grace. We are, after all, speaking about a beautiful Mary that is so full of grace. The Rosary is like a spiritual sword that Our Lady gives you to use in spiritual combat. It is one of the most powerful weapons you can have in the spiritual world. I'm simply too scared to not pray the Rosary daily. I don't want to take the least risk, not even the tiniest little risk, of becoming separated from Jesus. And I know that as long as I stay close to Mary, she's going to make sure that I'm as close to her son as I can possibly be. The family Rosary is more powerful than you can imagine. The evil one is terrified of Mary and he hates her. Just a single glance from our Blessed Mother sends him running. Don't you want to keep your family close to Jesus? Pray the Rosary. Stay close to Mary. Do you know why Mary is the amazing woman and mother and instrument of grace that she is? Do you know why so many books have been written about her? Do you know why so many saints have become saints because of her? Do you know why so many miracles are attributed to her? Do you know why God chose her to become the mother of Jesus and of God? All because she said yes. When you can say yes to Jesus, your life will be transformed, and Mary will help you do this. Mary, sweetest mother. Mary, full of grace, our mother. I am a child of Mary, and I belong to her, or more specifically, I belong to Jesus through Mary. I am consecrated to her. I made my first consecration to Mary in 2008 with the St. Louis de Montfort 33-day preparation, and I read the beautiful True Devotion to Mary. I highly, highly, highly recommend that each of you become consecrated to our Mother, and I highly recommend reading St. Louis' True Devotion to Mary. We are all Mary's children. Let us all become close to her. Who wouldn't want to be close to their Mother? She wants us to become closer to her and to her Son. While I was moving house from Peachtree City to North Carolina and had finished packing up everything and had already cleaned out the house, I was on my way back home from the store one morning, and as I was about to walk into the house, I saw one small item in the middle of the lawn and thought it was a piece of trash, so I went to pick it up. Do you know what it was? It was the act of consecration to Mary. I picked it up. I have that very same one that I picked up still with me now and pray it every morning once again now. I had a few very terrible years just after COVID started. Really terrible. I was under tremendous spiritual attack, complete and utter desolation, and an intense feeling of total separation from God. It was awful. A taste of what hell might be like, which is of course the worst thing one could possibly imagine. I don't want to go into detail about that now, but the reason I'm bringing it up is because, no coincidence, I had stopped praying the Rosary. I wasn't able to. I had fallen, and I had fallen badly. I was open fodder for the evil one, and he was overjoyed. He had me where he wanted me, and I was falling badly. I didn't even want to live anymore, and the only reason I didn't do anything to myself was because I knew I belonged to God, and I didn't have the right. I was begging God over and over for even the tiniest bit of peace, but it didn't come. Most people thought that I had completely lost my marbles, but it was much worse. I felt like I was being strangled by the evil one. Spiritual warfare is very real, everyone. We really do need to be spiritually vigilant, and Mary and the Rosary play a huge role in this. I still participated in the Rosary weekly when they prayed it at the church you went to for Sunday Mass, but I didn't actually pray it. More specifically, I somewhat listened to it. I kept falling back into mortal sin because I kept breaking the promise I had made to God many years before about praying the Rosary daily. I was a mess. It had been during the elections around 20 years ago when I had pleaded with God for a certain guy to win the presidency, if it was God's divine will, of course, and for his greater glory and honor. And I promised to pray the Rosary every day since, no matter what the outcome was. But I still kept pleading with all my heart anyway for the outcome that I wanted. Please, God, whatever your will is, I'll accept. But please, 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 God, let the guy that I want win. Okay, God, whatever your will. But please, please. You know how we pray those. So I had been praying the Rosary every day since, until the time in North Carolina when I fell apart. That was the only time I had ever missed praying it. But I know Mama Mary still got me through because I still carried the Rosary with me wherever I went, and I never let go of it. I couldn't. It was my lifeboat. Fast forward, and I remember feeling completely desperate one morning a few years into my nightmare. I had just come back to Peachtree City and reached out to Father Murphy. He told me to go to Mass as often as I could, and he also told me to pray 1,000 Hail Marys a day, just like St. Faustina did. I was barely able to pray at that point, but I did start praying Hail Marys, over and over. I searched out some YouTube videos of the Rosary and started to listen to some by this wonderful Irish man. Back home in South Africa, most of our priests and nuns had been Irish, so this made me feel right at home. I knew how to pray the Rosary, of course, but it really helped listening to this wonderful Irish voice pray along with me. I would practically put those videos on repeat and listen to them over and over. I then literally forced myself to come to Mass. Forced. It was hard for me, more than you can imagine. And then I started back at adoration, and I started praying the Rosary with everyone at church. But this time I prayed and didn't just listen. I went to confession and went regularly, like clockwork. And I still continue to do so now. As soon as I sinned, I went back immediately. I prayed the Rosary every day, every single day. And the Divine Mercy too. I'd also made a promise to God many years back in 2006 that I would pray the Divine Mercy daily. I had been leaving for another state for a few days at the time, and at the same time a very terrible hurricane was coming our way. So I had asked God to keep my mother safe while I was away, and I promised God to pray the Divine Mercy daily and have prayed it daily since, and God kept her safe. And then, a short while into my return to praying the Rosary, going to adoration regularly, daily Mass, very regular confession, one morning soon after I awoke and was still lying in bed, I felt a strong interior message. Get up. You have a lot of work to do. At that point, I had still been getting up later than most, and I immediately got up. I suddenly felt an urgency about me and a great purpose, and this was new. Suddenly, from that moment, it wasn't all about me anymore. The focus shifted outside of myself that morning, to everyone around me. The first thing I thought of was my dad. I love him tremendously, and I know he has been struggling spiritually and really needs God's peace in his life. And so, out of love for my dad, and most of all, out of obedience to this very strong interior urge, command, I got up and felt like I was starting an important mission. And I've been feeling that way ever since. And suddenly, so many wonderful things started happening all at the same time. I listened to a video by a priest who was speaking about the divine will and about Luisa Picaretta, also known as the daughter of the divine will, and about surrendering your world to God the moment you wake up each morning and asking God to give you his will in return. And I wrote down the prayer that the priest told us to pray, and this is the prayer that I've already shared with so many of you. And so I pray this first thing in the morning as soon as I open my eyes. I give my will to God. I pray. Good morning, Jesus. I trust in you. I give you my will. Please give me your will in return. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, I love you. Please save souls. And at that point, I also started praying the Angelus. The thrice daily Angelus is considered extremely powerful in the Catholic faith. It is prayed three times a day, traditionally at the key points of the day, morning, noon, and evening, allowing us to pause and reconnect with God throughout the day. It is very quick, but makes us meditate on Mary's radical obedience to God's will. It is also called an angelic salutation because it recalls the moment that Archangel Gabriel came to Mary with a message that would change the world, when she said, "Yes." I started praying the Angelus because I had listened to a priest speak about how powerful this devotion is, very, very powerful in spiritual warfare. It also forces us to establish structure and discipline in our spiritual lives, and this in turn establishes structure and discipline in our personal lives because of the times we have to pray it, 6 a.m., 12 p.m., and 6 p.m., no ifs and no buts, 6 a.m., 12 p.m., and 6 p.m. There are reasons for this. I can do a whole other talk on the tremendous importance of structure and discipline in both our spiritual and personal lives. Well, they're actually completely intertwined, but that is an in-depth talk for another time. And then suddenly it happened while I was in front of the monstrance one evening. The tidal wave of peace that came flooding over me and within me is something I will never, ever forget. Such immense peace and the most wonderful feeling have I ever experienced in my life. Absolutely beautiful and profound. I had been desperate for so long for even just that tiniest sliver of peace, and now it came flooding over me, into me, within the deepest depths and recesses of my soul and my innermost being, and it has never left. This is the Holy Spirit, and I never want to be away from Him ever, ever, ever again. How I love adoration, closing my eyes and being so completely at peace, resting with our blessed Lord. We can just be ourselves with Him. He will never, ever, ever turn us away or reject us. As I have mentioned before, the more we run to Jesus, the wider His loving embrace becomes. You can't sleep? Visit Jesus and keep Him company in front of the tabernacle. Transport yourself there interiorly. Or transport yourself to Gethsemane and keep Him company there. Spend time with Him. There is no time with God. And clutch the rosary in your hands while you do. Mary will help you. And you will rest fully in Jesus and sleep like a babe, guaranteed, because He fills you with His peace. I sleep with my rosary wrapped around my arm, and normally when I wake up it's in my hand. It's like that every night when I sleep. All of this peace that I now have, is because of Mary and the rosary. She brought me back home. And I share my story solely so that you can share a taste of my personal experience of witnessing immense power and goodness and mercy of God through Mary to Jesus. I'm actually truly grateful that God allowed me to experience what I did, because now I know what it feels like on the other side without God. To imagine an eternity like that without Him, complete separation from Him, utter desolation for all eternity, just the mere thought fills me with the worst dread. I pray to Him all the time now to help me save souls, as many as possible, while I still have time here on earth. And for that to happen, I need to really be close to Mother Mary. We need to pray for sinners badly. We need to pray for them so they can all come back to God. My Mary, our Mother, she sends us straight to Jesus, and why wouldn't she? Her entire life is focused on Jesus, and He is right at her center, and He loves her immensely. Whatever and whomever she brings to Him, He will take extra special care of. And I came back home with a love for my dearest Jesus, more intense and trusting than ever before. I cannot imagine even a single second without Him being there. Even just the thought of a minute without His presence would make that minute seem empty, vacant, devoid of any meaning, desolate, complete and utter loneliness. How can people possibly function without Him? Clearly they can't. If they seem like they can, it's only by appearance. Why do you think people are scared of silence or being alone? Because then they have to face the emptiness and they cannot bear it. When you are close to Jesus, that same silence is the most beautiful thing. You can close your eyes and just rest in Him. The most peaceful time in the world is when you are spending time with Jesus in front of the monstrance. Archbishop Fulton Sheen did a holy hour with Jesus every single day. He often spoke about how that is where he received all of his strength. If someone, a Catholic, asks me about how to find peace, I will immediately direct them to Jesus through Mary, confession, the Blessed Eucharist, adoration, and the Rosary. Those are the four biggies. If for some reason you find it quite difficult or near impossible to do any of those, perhaps you live 10,000 miles away from the nearest church, which is quite impossible, but we are speaking hypothetically here, or in a time of COVID or something similar, or you are just a complete mess and falling apart like I was, at the very least, start by calling on Mary and grab a rosary or hold on tightly to it. Call on Mary and she will make things happen. Perhaps the next thing you know, you'll walk down the road and bump into a priest, but seriously, call on her and keep calling. Don't be surprised if a church is suddenly built just down the road. These things do happen. There are many to whom I've given the rosary for them to clutch onto when they need peace and comfort, and it does indeed bring them peace and comfort. What loving mother wouldn't give her child comfort when the child reaches out to her? My rosary never leaves my side, ever, 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 except when I'm in the shower, of course. The rosary is literally the thread that kept me hanging on, and God allowed it all because he knew the big picture. I asked him once why he allowed it to happen, what happened, and his very clear and immediate response was that I didn't know the big picture, but he did. When God breaks somebody, he puts them back together and rebuilds them in the way that he wants, better than they ever were before. The divine potter is molding the clay, but this transformation will only happen if we completely surrender to his will. Had I not gone through that terrible experience, I would never have experienced that tremendous and profound and wonderful experience of Jesus calming the storm. I could say that I'm a walking miracle, but really, this is just merely another example of what can happen when we call on Mary and give everything and surrender completely, surrender all to Jesus. Had I been continuing to half-heartedly trudge along in life, thinking that I was a super strong warrior of God's, when in actual fact I was doing most things my own way and not wanting to submit control to God, had I continued on that way, never would I have experienced the tremendous power and love of God and the great love of Mary if there had not been such a tremendous explosion in my life as there had been, where it felt like everything had blown apart and I was completely cut off from God as a result, and even from Mary, my sweetest mother, whom I had always, until then, taken for granted. I remember when my mom was in her dying moments, there was selfish old me asking her over and over again, "Mom, please pray for me. I need help. How can I be at peace again?" And she would tell me, "Pray. You have to pray. Pray. Don't stop praying. Call on Mary. Pray to Jesus." Wow, was my mother a woman of God. Her whole life revolved around God and our Blessed Mother. When my mother would fall asleep, I would see her moving her lips and hear her prayers to Jesus and Mary nonstop, even in her sleep. Our Blessed Mother actually appeared to my mother twice, and probably more times than I'm not aware of, when she was in her last days. My mom would speak about the tremendous beauty of Mary and the profound peace surrounding her. Mary was coming to take her home. Our sweet mother was coming to take my beautiful sweet mother home. My mother had to have the rosary with her at all times. When it got lost or was misplaced, which so often happened at the nursing home, I would have to hunt it down. She couldn't be without it, and I couldn't leave until she had it in hand again. My mother died with the rosary around her neck. It's thanks to her that I so love Mary and the rosary. Most of my vivid memories from when I was little are falling asleep with rosary in hand because my mom used to make us pray it. Thank you, Mom. I love you so much. I have zero doubt that it is thanks to my mom's prayers that Mary helped me back to God. The rosary was the thread hanging from heaven that kept me hanging on. As terrible as things were in those few terrible years, my prayers were still answered through the 54-day rosary novena that I prayed several years before. In a way I hadn't expected, of course, but answered nevertheless, almost as specifically as the requests I had made. Another talk on that another time. You should reread the 15 promises of the rosary, promises that our Blessed Mother spoke to St. Dominic about, promises to all of those who pray the rosary. You receive extra special protection from Mary, and she promises you will not perish. These are just two of the promises. Please, please make sure to read them. The caveat, of course, is that you actually need to be praying the rosary on a very regular basis for Mary to keep those promises to you. You keep your side of the bargain and she will keep hers. And don't say, well, I can't do it, no time, no energy, no discipline. Just do it. It only takes a mere 20 minutes out of your whole day. Just skip reading the latest Facebook updates a couple of times a day and you can easily fit in the rosary. And when you pray the rosary, just think of all the little things you can do. Close your eyes and give a rose to Mary with each Hail Mary you pray. Even when you are just at prayer or sitting in church, you can even ask your guardian angel to give Mary a rose from you. You can ask your guardian angel to give your loved one in heaven a rose too. I often ask my guardian angel to give my mom roses or to give her a kiss from me. Speaking about roses, the day after Michelle had asked me if I could speak about Mary, the next morning at Mass there was the most beautiful strong smell of roses around. So beautiful, I knew that was from Mama Mary. And then on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, I woke up and opened the curtain to a full-bloomed rose pressed up against my window. How beautiful that was. And I also made the consecration to the Immaculate Conception after doing 40 days preparation with Father Thaddeus Langton, a Marian priest. We need to remember so much to pray for our priests always. What wonderful priests and shepherds we have all around us. Also, on a side note, Father Thaddeus spoke about the great importance of joining the confraternity of the Immaculate Conception. You will also learn about and wear the blue scapula when and if you join. Also, Pope John Paul II, how I love him, gave this confraternity his apostolic blessing. I really, really want to get enrolled in this, so I hope I can convince a lot of you to join me. So we need to discuss this more. Back to Mary. Look how Mother Mary transforms lives. Father Donald Calloway, Jim Caviezel, so many have had major conversions all because of Mary. You all know Jim Caviezel and how he loves Mary. Well, his great love for and devotion to her began after a visit to Medjugorje. And I'm sure many of you know Father Donald Calloway, or have heard about him at least. He is one of my all-time favorite priests. Boy, was he on the wrong side of the tracks. Did you know he used to be a hardcore criminal? He went to prison, was extradited from Japan due to criminal activity, in and out of rehab programs which didn't help him in the least. What saved him? Mother Mary. All because of Mother Mary, he is now a truly amazing priest and has been one for over 20 years. Look at him now, such a deeply devout priest who is so much in love with God and with his Blessed Mother Mary. All because he found a book on Medjugorje on his mother's bookshelf when he was looking for something to distract himself from the silence. I was listening to yet another talk by him recently about Mary and the Rosary, and in this talk, he also spoke about a rehab program out there that actually really does work. It has been proven that most rehab programs with all of these self-affirmations of I'm so good, I can do anything, wonderful me, etc., etc., have very low success rates. But there is one that has an almost 100% success rate. It is called the Chanakolo Community and it was founded by the Italian sister Elvira Petruzzi. She is an Italian nun. Community Chanakolo is a Christian association and helps desperate young people who are suffering from the strains of life and may have turned to drug addiction, alcohol, or substance abuse. In community, they are able to rebuild their lives for a new life in society. Unlike a conventional rehab unit, there are no doctors, counselors, psychiatrists, psychotherapists, or even any medication. The community relies purely on God's providence, prayer, and the generosity of its supporters for their everyday needs. Unlike other communities that bring in doctors, psychologists, and the social services, the people Sister Elvira and her community let in are Our Lady and Jesus Christ, and they have invited them in to heal people. They say that the most effective medication to alleviate drug addiction is found in the Eucharist, devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, and devotion to Our Blessed Mother with the Rosary. The success rate is very high, and many have even taken up vocations within the Church. Up to 5 new priests have been ordained recently following community. Look at this, the Rosary, miracle upon miracle upon miracle upon miracle upon miracle upon miracle has happened with this. It's spiritual medicine. It's a life raft thrown down from heaven and it's for you. Do you remember the 15 promises of praying the rosary? Well, it's major. God loves you. He loves each of us so, so much. He gave us his only son, and he gave us this most amazing and beautiful and loving woman for our mother. I can tell you now that I would be petrified to be on the wrong side of God or to be one of those out there that are hurting others. Child abuse, abortion, genocide, and the list goes on. They have no idea what they're doing. We need to pray for them because God takes care of his precious ones. Everyone is precious to him, but he especially protects those who turn to him and love him. I've come to understand just how much he truly loves us and how he will protect us. He wants all of us, each and every single one of us, to come home to him. He has such great, immense tenderness towards us, and especially so when we turn to him with all of our hearts. We are his little children after all. How angry would he become with those who would want to hurt us? And how much hurt we must cause him when we cause pain or hurt somebody in this world, because each one is so very precious to him. Let us pray, pray, and pray for everyone to turn to him with all of their hearts, and let us never stop praying. And Mary and the Rosary can play a huge part in helping us to convert others with our prayers. This Rosary, this little thing here, it has so much power, so much power. I'm never without it. This Rosary goes with me wherever I go. Do you know how long it takes to pray the Rosary? 15 to 20 minutes. That's it. That's all it takes. That tiny little portion of your day. Do you know how much time you waste on Facebook every day? The Rosary is the antidote for everything that is against us. It's the way out. Mary is the gateway to heaven, and the Rosary is her weapon of choice against anything and everything that wishes to stop us from getting to God. The Rosary is the way out. It disposes us to want to go to confession, and we also begin to understand the great importance and our great need of confession. Father Donald Calloway has bet that if we went up to each of the people standing in line for confession and we asked them, "By the way, sir or ma'am, do you happen to say the Rosary?" He bets that each one of them would respond with, "Yes, I pray the Rosary, and I pray the Rosary daily." He also bets that if we went out into the street and asked someone, "Excuse me, sir or ma'am, do you happen to be Catholic?" And if they responded with yes, and we then asked them if they went to confession and they said no, he bets that they don't pray the Rosary either. You see, Our Lady leads you to the sacraments. This Rosary leads you to Jesus Christ. The Rosary comes from Our Lady. Come close to Mary. She will take you to Jesus. I remember a few months ago I experienced such profound grief that I hadn't experienced since the loss of my mother. I love animals dearly, and I'd come to really love a little kitten that my brother-in-law had rescued and my niece then adopted. I was looking after it during the day and making sure it was fed and had water, and I really grew to love him. Long story short is that one day when I came to check on the kitten, something had happened to it, and it appeared to be in pain. So I took it to the vet, and they said they didn't expect it to live much longer, and that if it didn't improve, my niece should bring it in to have it put down. I remember holding this kitten in my arms, wishing and praying that I could help it, and feeling such immense grief, and I cried like I hadn't cried since my mom had passed. I wished so badly that I could run to her for consolation, and I felt such immense grief that she wasn't there. And then I suddenly remembered that I did still have a mom, because Mary is my mother. And I cried out to her, "Mary, I need you, I need you." And she came immediately when I called out to her. I felt her presence interiorly so strong. And immediately she took me straight to Jesus. I felt him lift me up and carry me, just like he had done before. And the peace and comfort and consolation that I felt was so profound. I knew I was not alone. I'm never, ever alone because he is with me. And Mama Mary keeps reminding me of that. I can go on and on and on about the Rosary, as can so many hundreds of thousands of others in this world, so I will keep returning back to it as long as I speak about Mary. And just think, no matter where you are in the world, and no matter what time of day or night it is, the Rosary is being prayed right now, at this moment or that moment, somewhere else in the world, just down the road or on the other side of the planet, because it's powerful, it brings peace. It rids this world of evil and all the bad stuff. The Rosary is also a biblical and scriptural prayer. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Some people think we Catholics just make this stuff up, mumbling it over and over. No, that's not what we're doing. We're meditating on the life of Jesus. We're praying to Mary, and yet she's making us think all about Jesus. Surprise, surprise. And how happy it makes Jesus to see us praying the rosary and to see us so devoted to his mother that he loves so much. Every single Hail Mary you pray is saying to Jesus and Mary, I love you, 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 I love you. Do you know how happy that makes him? The more you turn to Jesus, the wider his embrace becomes. Again, the book True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort is the best book about Mary ever. Read it. I'm happy as long as I know I'm making Jesus happy. It would half kill me to disappoint him, he who loves us so much. And so I stay close to his mom, Mama Mary, she who brings us straight to him. Turn to her and stay close to her. She is our gateway to heaven. She is our mother. Every single thing we do in life either takes us a step towards or a step away from God. I remember first hearing about that from Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Boy, I love him. He said that whatever choice you make, no matter how large or insignificant, it either moves us towards God or away from God, and then in turn it has a domino effect on whatever else that follows and everyone around us. And so, when something happens in your life and everything falls upside down, you have one of two choices. You can either let it tear you up inside, and that means tearing up everything and everyone around you too, or you can turn to Mary. Ask her to help you give it to God and surrender all to him, and he will take care of everything. Trust in him. Say, Jesus, I trust in you. Mary, my mother, please be a mother to me now. Sweet Mother Mary, please take me to Jesus. Lift up your rosary beads, hold onto them, clutch onto them tightly. Keep them with you at all times. They should be on your person. Stay close to Mary. She will help you to make the right choice. Get to know your guardian angel. That's another huge talk for another time. Get to know your heavenly family. Jesus lives in permanent residence at our side. He never, ever leaves us because he loves us unconditionally. My permanent residence is by his side, and I will do anything and everything to stay there and not to move even a micromillimeter away. And I know Mary will keep me there, so I will stay close to her no matter what. Mary, our sweet mother. Mary, who has brought me back to my beloved Jesus, how I love him. This peace within me is because he resides there. The Holy Spirit dwells within me, and this is why I frequently go to confession. The Holy Spirit can no longer dwell within us when we are not in a state of grace. Our prayers are completely without merit. A huge chasm forms between us and God. Our souls become like muck, and we may as well be lifeless. Yes, it sounds terrible, but it's the truth. Drag yourself to confession. When we are without grace, we can pray and pray as much as we want, but we are truly wasting our time because our prayers carry no weight or merit and are of no value to God, and we can only receive grace from the sacraments. Confession is so very, very important. When we are weighed down with sins, even little ones that pile up, this really affects us and we become weighed down by it. More and more over time, it becomes heavier and heavier, and our open channel of communication with God becomes clouded until it is shut off, because the Holy Spirit can no longer live within us, within our interior temples, when they are unfit for him. So, in order for our prayers to carry much merit, we need to be in a state of grace. And here again is where the tremendous importance of confession comes into play. Because when we are in a state of grace, our prayers carry much more weight. I will repeat, our prayers are completely without merit when our souls are burdened by sin. That wonderful, amazing priest I know, Father Donald Calloway, says that confession is just like a spiritual diaper change, or like flushing the toilet. You get rid of all that filth and stench, because that is how our souls become when they are stained with sin, filthy and putrid with a spiritual stench. Don't you want your soul to be clean and spotless, fit for Our Lady, fit for our Lord and King Jesus Christ, God the Father and Holy Spirit? You should read about how Saint Teresa of Avila describes a soul when it is in a state of sin, especially mortal sin. It is so ugly and so terrible. It is black. The light cannot enter within. When it is in mortal sin, it is truly terrible, empty. It may as well be dead, like a burnt and charred, abandoned building. How could the Holy Spirit possibly dwell within when it is in that state? I'm going to emphasize this again. Confession is so, so, so very important. Confession is like a mountain of God's mercy that we are moved with and that gives us strength. This strength is way beyond our own strength could ever be. It is an interior strength that comes directly from God. This is because we are able to be flooded with an indwelling of the Holy Spirit once again, who cannot dwell within us when our souls are in a state of muck. But once they're made pure and clean and spotless again, he flies within us. That is where the Holy Spirit loves to be. And then we, in turn, have the grace to love others with the love that comes from him, as we should love them, and to show mercy to others with the mercy that comes from him, with the mercy that he has shown us, with the forgiveness that comes from him as he forgave us, with the forgiveness that we should show others, with the humility that he shared with Mary, who was so humble herself, and who gave herself to him in this humility that we can then share with others. All of these graces come from God, and they are able to freely come to us when we are in a state of grace. This is why Mama Mary's intercession is so powerful, and why her prayers for us count so very much and carry so much weight, because she is constantly in a state of grace, because she is so pure and so spotless. Let us try to imitate Mary, his spotless mother, and try to keep our souls as pure and spotless as we can, with her intercession and the help of God. Many priests recommend having confession no less than every 8 days. I know that some of you must be in shock at hearing this, but yes, that is truly what is recommended, and for very good reason. Remaining in a state of grace is so, so important. I cannot emphasize enough just how important it is, and I'm going to get back to this to explain why. When you have a long gap in between confessions, all the little sins start to pile up and start to blur your conscience and your view of truth versus untruths, and good versus evil, and what is bad becomes not so bad, and well, okay, that doesn't really matter after all. That's what happens. It'll be little by little, drop by drop, that slowly starts to fill the bucket over the course of time, and before you know it, your once open channel of communication with God starts to get blocked. Your conscience is tainted, and your prayers are no longer as meritorious as they were when you were in a state of grace. And then you start to think, well, that confession I was thinking of going to is a bit too late for me tonight, or too early for me tomorrow, or conflicts with other arrangements that I have, or it's just a bit too much for me right now, or it's going to overlap with the football game I wanted to watch, or the Wednesday sitcom I like to veg out in front of, and so on and so on. Whatever excuse you can possibly come up with to avoid going, and you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off, and then little by little, whatever peace you had left within you starts to go away. Until suddenly a whole lot of peace suddenly disappears and is replaced with frenzied anguish and despair, or simply a sense of profound desolation, and you start to get sucked into the other side. This is how the evil one works. Drop by drop, he gnaws away at you and pulls you away from God. And suddenly he has you right where he wants you. Despair. That's what he wanted. Now he's happy. But God always has his hand extended and reaching out to you. As long as you're alive and breathing and here on earth, he's going to be reaching out to you. Take his hand and grab it. He's offering you the remedy, confession. Confession keeps you clean. Confession puts you right back to where you need to be with God. You need to become disciplined about it. Make it a priority, a top priority in your life. You need confession for everything else in life because you need grace and you need to be in a state of grace. You need confession to be able to receive communion worthily because you need to be in that state of grace. You need confession to purify your soul so that your prayers carry weight and merit so that they count. You need the grace within you so that your channel between you and God is completely clear and there's nothing blocking you or tainting your spiritual vision. Even if you reach a point where you have nothing to confess when you're at the confessional, it's still good to go because of the graces you receive. Those graces strengthen you against future temptations so that you will not fall so easily back into sinning, and then just keep going regularly. Build a relationship with your confessor so that he gets to know you. But go, just go. I would be too scared to not go on a regular basis because I want to be as close to God as I can possibly be. I want to know that my prayers carry so much merit, value, and weight for all of those people that I'm praying for. So just go. Now I want my conscience to be clear and I want to know what's right and what's wrong. This quote is from the book called Divine Intimacy. In a soul that is filled with sanctifying grace, there's a special presence of God which is promised by Jesus and which is called the indwelling. The divine persons are said to be indwelling inasmuch as they are present to intellectual creatures in a way that lies beyond human comprehension and are known and loved by those creatures, us humans, in a purely supernatural manner alone within the deepest sanctuary of the soul that is in a state of grace. In other words, the three divine persons are present in a soul that is in the state of grace and may even make themselves known to that soul by the intimate illumination of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus states clearly, "Abide in me and I in you," John 15 verse 4. Jesus will always manifest himself to a soul that is in a state of grace. The Venerable Louis of Granada says that divine grace is a participation of the divine nature, that is, of God's sanctity, purity, and greatness, by virtue of which man is despoiled of the baseness and corruption of his nature, and is clothed with the beauty and nobility of Jesus Christ. Holy writers illustrate this by familiar example. A piece of iron, when taken out of the fire, though it still continues to be iron, resembles the fire on account of its heat and brightness. Grace acts in a like manner. As a divine quality, it is infused into the soul, and so transforms man into God, that without ceasing to be man, he assumes the virtues and purity of God. Grace has so many effects on the soul. It renders her so beautiful that God, who is captivated with her loveliness, chooses her for his spouse, his temple, and his dwelling place. Another effect of grace is a strength which it imparts to the soul. Grace, then, is like an invulnerable armor. So strong does it render man that, according to St. Thomas, the least degree of grace suffices to triumph over all sin. A third effect of grace is to render man so pleasing to God that every good action performed by him contributes to merit for him eternal life. By good, we here mean not only acts of virtue, but all those which arise from the necessities of nature, such as eating, drinking, and sleeping, which by an upright intention become pleasing to God and meritorious in his sight. Grace, finally, qualifies man for all good, smooths the way to heaven, makes the yoke of Christ sweet and light, cures man of his infirmities and lightens his burdens, so that he is enabled to run in the path of virtue. Moreover, it strengthens all the faculties of the soul, enlightens the understanding, inflames the heart, moderates the appetites of the flesh, and constantly stimulates us, so that we may not relax in the pursuit of virtue. But the crowning effect of grace, and I hope you're concentrating and listening here, is that it brings God into our souls in order to govern us, protect us, and lead us to heaven. And why, again, am I speaking so much about grace and the importance of it when I'm giving a talk about Mary? Because they are one and the same. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Imagine how incredibly special Mary must be, that God so entrusted her with his only son, and that his son depended so much on her to do everything for him in the years of his life. His years as an infant and child. Unable to even feed himself or even move, he had such great dependence on Mary to sustain his life. She is both human and divine. God created the perfect woman for his son. Come close to Mary and you will automatically come close to the Holy Spirit. Mary and the Holy Spirit are one. She's the Immaculate Conception. Mary and the Holy Spirit are so completely intertwined. Mary is so pure, so spotless. God created her without a single blemish. Don't you want to become like your mother? Fashion yourself after your mother who loves you so much. And she said yes. She is the only person in the history of mankind who was born in a state of grace. No other human being, because original sin took away that privilege. God loves his mother so much. Speak against her and he will let you know how mad he is. I know of a priest who spoke against her at the pulpit in his homily, and the next thing that happened is he had to run out of the church because he couldn't control his loose bowels. True story. I'm going to share a little of what Father Donald Calloway has shared, and he shares this quote from Fulton Sheen. Imagine that you're God, you've got all the power you need, you can do anything, and you're going to send your son into the world to redeem fallen humanity. and you're going to, with your son, create this masterpiece. You're going to create your own mother. The second person of the Blessed Trinity that is coming into the world is going to create his own mother. Just think, no son comes before his mother. But in this situation, God coming into the world, he does. And he creates his own mother. Now imagine that you're God and you're going to do this. Would you make your own mother with any flaws? You're God. Would you make her have any imperfections? I wouldn't if I were God. My mom would be the most lovely, most tender, most delicate, most beautiful, most feminine, most of everything, and all people would call her blessed, and all angels would serve her, and I myself would love her and honor her and obey her. See, the God who made the commandments and the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother is the God who in time, after having given this commandment, first comes into the world and then himself obeys it. That's the importance of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And see, because God is not stingy, he created his own mother coming into the world. And then he didn't say, you know, she's mine, all mine, all mine. He shares her with us. Behold your mother, our spiritual mother in the order of grace, our lady. And as a mother, what is she supposed to do for us? Feed us, educate us, protect us, and correct us. This is also why we refer to the church as Mater Ecclesia, Mother Church. She's got a right to do all these things and to correct us. Imagine a mother seeing her child playing in the street or even with wolves and doesn't do anything. Whatever. You've got rights. You've got freedom. You can do whatever you want to do. Go play on the street. It's okay. No, a mother who sees danger warns her children, tells them about it. In these times that we are living in, heaven is sending Our Lady to earth with messages warning us and telling us that we need to pray, we have to fast, we need to do penance, we have to go to the sacraments, and we can hear in her heart, as in La Salette, that she is distraught. You can almost see her weeping because we're not listening. What mother would not cry if she said, baby, don't touch the pot, the oven is hot, don't do that, you're going to get burnt. But the kid keeps doing it, whatever. Basically, that's what we're saying to Our Lady today, and by extension to the church, our mother. Whatever, get out of my face. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? But our mother church has to guide us and tell us what to do and has rules for a reason, because of God's immense love for us. Wow, God's love for us, God's gift to us, Catholicism. Like many of the saints, and believe me, I'm no saint, I'm absolutely convinced that Catholicism has the fullness of truth, and it alone is what Jesus Christ intended, and it alone is what is going to save the world, because only the truth will save the world in its fullness. As Jesus said in Scripture, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have life. And what happened? Remember John chapter 6, people walked away. And what did Jesus say when they walked away? He didn't say, wait, I'm sorry, did I offend you? We're the diversified, tolerant people. Here, let's come back. Group hug, have some donuts, and let's affirm each other. No, he let them walk away, not because he's mean and nasty and doesn't love them, because he does love them. Truth can't change. Truth will remain a steadfast anchor to the soul, even though we may go away from it for a time. Every soul will struggle with the truth, but you can't get away from the truth. Truth is magnetic to the soul. We don't have a choice but to be drawn to it. We may fight and resist because we are sinners, but we are always drawn to it. And we will instinctively keep trying to find our way back to it. And Mary can help us. And God is using the Blessed Virgin Mary in a strong way now to convert souls and bring souls back to him. Mary has played a huge part in those discerning to become a priest or religious. Again, look at Medjugorje, and Father Calloway is just one example. So very many others. Mary's role in our spiritual lives is so crucial, so key. As in learning how to dance, we master our collaboration with our instructors only by trial and error and with constant practice. Sometimes we forget that Mary not only began her life full of grace, but grew in that grace each day of her life as she allowed the Holy Spirit complete freedom within her so that she could be formed by him. This complete receptivity to the Holy Spirit is called docibilitas, which means the capacity to earn and be formed by the Holy Spirit. The Immaculata, as our mother, wants to imprint this docilitas into our hearts, into our hearts, so that the Holy Spirit can accomplish great work in us too. This conscious cooperation with the Holy Spirit begins in baptism, is strengthened in confirmation, and requires us to fully trust in and submit to God's will. The only limit to what the Holy Spirit can do within and through us is how much we trust in Him. Mary reveals to us what happens when one surrenders unconditionally to the Holy Spirit's creative work. She lived in harmony with God's plan for her, and there is no division between who she is and who God desires her to be. When we fully submit to God and to the Holy Spirit and place our trust in Him, only then can we experience the true peace that God wishes for us. And Mary can help us and teach us how to do this. But how, you might ask? Start with the rosary. Consecrate yourself to her. Let her take over. When you consecrate yourself to Mary, you are making a covenant to her, with her. It's similar to a contract, the difference being that a contract is the exchange of property in the form of goods and services, whereas a covenant is the exchange of persons. I am yours, you are mine. Another feature of a covenant is that it usually entails certain rights and obligations. For example, as in the marital covenant, a husband and wife have the right to enjoy one another in the spousal embrace of self-giving love. But they also have the obligation to care for and support one another both in good times and bad. So when we consecrate ourselves to Mary and we make this covenant with her, we each have duties and responsibilities to uphold for each other. For example, it is Mary's duty to possess, protect, and transform me, and in return, it is my duty to have total dependence on her. It is her duty to inspire, guide, and enlighten me. It is my duty to be responsive to her spirit. It is her duty to take responsibility for my sanctification. Oh, that's a big one. And it is my duty to trust in her intercession. It is her duty to provide for my spiritual and material needs. It is my duty to have constant recourse to her. And the list goes on. I would highly recommend consecrating yourself to Mary. She is so fully intertwined with the Holy Spirit. All I know is that I personally want them both on my side all the time. A quote from Father Thaddeus Langton's book here, Shining in Spotless Splendor. Honoring Mary is oriented directly towards worshiping and adoring God the Father, who in His Holy Spirit is at work within our hearts. With Mary, we learn how to glorify God. We do not pass from devotion to Mary and then to praise of God, but rather we join with her in authentic worship of God. We do this with every single Hail Mary we pray. We seek the Father with her, for without her Son, we would have no way of accessing the Father. Our love for her and devotion to her does not pass through her as if unchanged through a lifeless channel. Rather, we and our love are showered with the graces with which she is full. She enriches the imperfection of our love and devotion with the perfection of her perfect love. Our hearts are united with hers, and so the dim fire of love in our hearts is ignited by the huge blaze of love in her immaculate heart. Our love for God is inflamed and made magnificent by her love. She offers our acts of love to Jesus as though they were hers, without stain, immaculate. Whatever we offer to Mary is not merely then handed by her to the Father. Rather, in and through her, our imperfections are healed and cleansed by her perfection. I'll share a little once again from Father Calloway here. Wow, does he love Mary. You can tell I really admire him a lot too and everything he shares. You all know the game of chess, right? And you know it's about the king, that the whole game revolves around the king. But who has the most mobility on the board? The queen. Just like Mary, who is our queen. God has entrusted her with so much. And everybody knows that if you want to defeat the opponent, you have to get the queen. Take Mary out of the equation and things fall apart. If you look back at history, you will see that every time Marian devotions have been removed from families, from seminaries, things have started to fall apart at the seams. But when you put Mary back in there, holiness grows big time. This is why Satan hates Mary so much. He is seeking to devour us, our families, and our parishes. He hates Mary. The last thing he wants is for us to become holy without blemish, spot, or wrinkle, and immaculate without sin. Because the basic essence of Christianity is this, that we get incorporated into the sonship of Jesus Christ, affiliated into that relationship, and can cry out to our Abba, Father. But see, nobody is born again unless there's a woman involved. It all goes back to Mary and the church. Without Mary and the church, you're just not going to be able to make it, whether you know it or not. The Immaculate Heart of Mary is the mother of the church. Mary's role in our spiritual lives is so crucial, so key, and this is why the evil one attacks it. The saints tell us that every soul is meant to become an altar of Mary for Jesus, another Mary for Jesus. You're never going to outdo her, no pope, no angel, no matter how holy, no one is ever going to outdo Our Lady. St. Louis de Montfort says in his Total Consecration that the role of the Christian is to become liquefied and then poured into the Mary mold. That's why in the days of old, many priests and nuns and lay people too were named after Mary, Sister Joseph Mary, Father Christian Mary, and so on. Even I was named after Mary. I was named after both Jesus and Mary, thus my name Christian Marie. Mary was the patron for everyone, not just for sisters and priests, but for everyone, you included. So the question is, what is your relationship like with her? Have you placed yourself and your family under her maternal protection and guidance, giving her the ability to nourish, educate, protect, and correct you? You need to do this, and you need to do it now. It's a dangerous world out there, and there's a huge spiritual battle going on for our souls. When we stay close to Our Lady, there is this maternal protection to help us get through. Ask Mary to help you save souls, and she will. Mary gives us tools. The Holy Rosary is the weapon chosen and given by Our Lady to crush the head of Satan and link us to heaven. In December 2014, Jesus himself appeared to Bishop Oliver Doom in Nigeria and handed him a sword that miraculously transformed into a rosary. Father Donald Calloway repeats over and over that praying the Holy Rosary is a powerful weapon to slay the dragons, which is the evil one and his minions, making it a powerful spiritual sword. Father Chad Ribbitcher has repeatedly emphasized that the rosary is not simply a weapon in spiritual warfare, it is the weapon to be used. Use this in combination with adoration and wow! The demons cannot tolerate adoration, and it is very, very powerful in spiritual warfare. It is very powerful in general. Remember, Archbishop Fulton Sheen had said that he wouldn't let even one day go by without doing a holy hour, and that is where he got his power from. And then, of course, there is a miraculous medal that you all know. Saint Maximilian Kolbe described the medal as a silver bullet with which a faithful soldier uses to hit the enemy. By this he means evil, and thus rescue souls. And then there's the scapula, of course. Those who wear the brown scapula faithfully are said to be granted the grace of final perseverance, or the ability to remain firm in their faith until death. And there is a Sabbatine privilege that is associated with the scapula, that those who wear the scapula faithfully every day and meet the requested conditions will be released from purgatory on the first Saturday after their death. I mean, that's huge. I'm not taking my scapula off. It is so easy to plant holy seeds wherever you go. Like little mustard seeds, those holy seeds can take root and then sprout and go into trees that may reach heaven, all because you planted a tiny seed. It's all about love and the fact that God loves you. Let him love you, then spread his love with all of those around you. It's so easy to bring others to Jesus. People are starving for him and so many don't even know it. Spread a little seed here and there. Make yourself available to simply listen to others who need someone to listen. Share some of God's love and then God will take care of the rest. There are probably so many enormous, beautiful spiritual trees going out there, growing out there and reaching towards heaven, all because of a small seed you planted. That may have been just a smile or a single Hail Mary shared with someone else or for someone else. Mary, Star of the Sea, Stella Maris, points us to her Son. She is our navigation to heaven. Mama Mary is helping us to navigate the rough waters of life to get to heaven. If there is someone to help you stay the course, it is Mary. She will keep us by Jesus' side. If you are in the midst of a storm and are on the rocks of temptation and tribulation, Look up to Mary, the star of the sea, and she will guide you back to the shore, back home to Jesus. If you are tossed upon the waves of pride or ambition or anger or lust or gluttony or despair or rivalry or unforgiveness or envy, look to the star of the sea and call upon Mary. If these things violently assail you within the frail vessel of your soul, call upon the star of Mary. Remember, though, Mary is not the goal. Jesus is the goal. Mary is our guide to get to Jesus. She takes us to him and leads the way. She gets us safely to the safe harbor of her Son. Mary is the mediatrix of all graces, of God's graces. Look what he has entrusted her with. Do you know that Mary visits the holy souls in purgatory? Our Lady goes to purgatory to visit and help the holy souls. Several saints have been shown this and told this. Saint Bridget of Sweden in the 14th century was taken on several trips to purgatory. Mary told her, "I am the mother of the souls in purgatory. I am the mother of mercy to these, my children, who are in the greatest need of my assistance. In their torments, they cannot help themselves, so she helps them. Even just hearing the name of Mary alone consoles holy souls in purgatory. Even just her name, the name of hope and mercy. And not only does she console the souls in purgatory, but she releases them. She delivers them from purgatory. Mary has been given the authority to release souls from purgatory. It is not a place of salvation, and it is not a place of forgiveness. The confessional is a place of forgiveness. Purgatory is a place of preparation for heaven. It is a place of detachment from all things we have been attached to. So Mary is able to release these holy souls. Every holy soul in purgatory has already been saved and are now being cleansed. Mary has a certain kind of rule and dominion and the power to release them, because this power was given to her by her Son. She has authority over these souls because she is a mother of mercy. She's the mother of Jesus. But remember to be clear, Mary does not save them and she is not their salvation. Jesus is their salvation. She is their guide. There is a difference. Did you know that on Assumption Day back in the 1500s, Mary emptied out purgatory and released all of the souls? This has been confirmed by many priests and theologians and scholars over the years. The only other favor Mary that ever asked of Jesus, other than when she asked him at the wedding feast of Cana for a favor, was to be able to release souls from purgatory. So every Christmas and Easter, Mary goes with thousands of angels and releases souls from purgatory. I mean, that's profound. With her intercession and with her patronage, she's able to do this. And she's able to do it with souls that have especially been devoted to her. Stop and think about this for just a second. Wouldn't you want to be a little more devoted to this woman, our beautiful mother, who would be able to help so many of your loved ones and so many of the souls in purgatory and so many others out there who are so lost and so in need of God? You can ask her to intercede for you in so many things. Ask her to take your request to God. She will indeed then take your request to God, prepare them and dress them up in a special way, adorn them with spiritual jewels, and then present them in the most beautiful and loving way that only a mother can do to our Father. Just ask her. It's the same as if you needed to ask your earthly father for something really important when you were little, or even now that you're all grown up. And so you go to your mother and ask your mother to speak to him because you know that only she could really soften him up. It's just what Mary can do for us. All you need to do is ask. As per Mother Angelica, let's not let this Advent season pass without a depth of spirituality in our hearts that lets us ponder. Ponder the mystery of how, why this omnipotent God, before whom angels tremble, would come down and live 9 months in the most pure and holy woman that ever lived and ever will live. He was confined in a womb with that infinite intelligence, infinite power, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our devotion to Mary should manifest itself in us, imitating her virtues. Without that, then it's meaningless. We can pay lip service, we can do tons of devotions, but the rubber really only hits the road when we truly live like her. And so the best way we can show devotion to Mary is by imitating her virtues and practicing those virtues in our everyday life. Let us lean so much on Mary with renewed effort from this moment onward, starting this Advent. Let us stay by her side as she carries baby Jesus within her. Again, look what God has entrusted her with, his Son. We would be complete idiots not to entrust ourselves to her, the mother of our God. He who loves us so much, how very much would it mean to him to see us become close to her, his mother. And remember, she always takes us straight to Jesus. The closer we become to Mary, the closer we become to Jesus, and the more the Holy Spirit can work within us. The only limit to what the Holy Spirit can do within us and through us is how much we trust in him. Turn to Mary with all of your heart. She will take you to Jesus, to God. Turn to Jesus and Mary. They will take care of you. They will take care of you. Surrender to God. Give him control. You won't regret it. When there's a storm raging, you'll be super happy that God is the one steering the ship. May God bless you, and may Mama Mary shower you with so many of his graces. To Jesus, through Mary. Sempre avanti, always forward.